Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get ready.
You ready?
Ready.
Ready.
We're ready.
I'm ready. 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 Ready.
Are you ready?
Get ready.
3, 2, 1.
Ready?
Yes. So ready.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
I'm ready.
And this is Overtime.
Okay. I'm ready.
It's 8:32. It's time for Tuesday's Overtime. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show.
Bonjour.
Good morning, everybody.
Bonjour. And Mark Reardon of The Mark Reardon Show.
Hola. I guess we're keeping it international this morning.
Yes.
Very much so.
I'll play along. Yes. I'll play along.
Good morning.
Well, we have a 30-page indictment of Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner's investigator in the Eric Greitens case. And it does cast a harsh light on Gardner herself, although she is not charged in this 30-page indictment. The 7-count indictment accuses William Tisabee of lying under oath and tampering with evidence. And several times the indictment alleges that Kim Gardner knew Tisabee was providing false testimony under oath, but took no action to correct him. Are you surprised, Charlie, that there was no action taken? Or do you agree with our KMOX legal analyst, Brad Young, that there could be more to come?
Oh,
here.
I think there's more to come. Not only with Ms. Gardner herself, because the indictment, which, by the way, is a remarkable read. It's only 30 pages long. It's double-spaced. And I think that our listeners will laugh. They'll cry. All those emotions. It's really out there because you have this former FBI agent who's being questioned by former U.S. Attorney Jim Martin, now with Dowd Bennett, in a deposition in March of last year. And he lies about everything, according to the indictment handed down by the grand jury. I mean, he's asked, did you check your laptop during lunch? Yes, I did. Then a couple minutes later, well, laptop, I don't even have a laptop. Very bizarre. It's almost comical. I thought Monty Python had written this. So Gardner was sitting next to this guy when he was taking notes, and then later he was asked under oath, did you take notes? Nope. And she's there. She hasn't even, she's asking him in the deposition, did you take notes? And she was sitting next to him. Very bizarre. I think there's a lot more to this case.
I think it's bizarre too. And I got to tell you that I don't know how you can have a circuit attorney that knew all these things were happening, and I there has to be more to come. I mean, it would be ridiculous to think that there's not, based on the information that's in this indictment. I'm curious because it seems like, despite the severity of all this and the exposure of all those lies and the conduct in that office, how many people, Charlie, have you heard criticizing Kim Gardner from the city of St. Louis this morning? Have you heard people call for her resignation?
Well,
she seems to get a pass on a lot of these things, and it's baffling to me.
I agree. In this morning's account of the story in the Post-Dispatch, the reaction to it was actually it led the story. You know, Adolphus Pruitt of the NAACP said it's all racist to be attacking Kim Gardner, and then later in Joel Courier's story, he does get to what's actually in the indictment. I think that journalistically, it should have been reversed. Let's see what's in there, and yeah. Not just Gardner, though. I think that Robert Durker, the former judge, has some explaining to do, because he knew that Tisabee, according to this indictment, was not telling the truth, and he was going to go to the police. But then he later said, the circuit attorney told me not to go to the police. Well, excuse me, Judge Durker, you had 40 years on the bench. You don't need permission from the circuit attorney to follow the law. So I think that he's got some explaining to do, unless he's already cooperated. I'm not sure.
Well, this allegation and this nonsense, and I've heard it before, that this is, you know, racially motivated, is a complete joke. And I would go so far as to say that I think Kim Gardner's race is giving her cover in this situation.
Well, let's go from one controversial elected official to another. because
there's a lot to choose from, Debbie.
It was reported last week that President Trump will kick off his reelection campaign, and I thought, kick off.
Yeah. When did it start? Yeah. When did it start? Like January 2017, didn't it?
It did. CBS News this morning added the word officially, which I think is necessary, pointing out that today in Orlando, Florida, will be his 59th political rally since he took office. Mark, are you ready for another 17 months of this?
No, I'm not, and I don't think the country is. It's exhausting. You know, Donald Trump aside, and the personality aside, I think that the way that we do this, and the media has to accept a lot of the responsibility, because I understand that candidates have to get out there and plant seeds and raise money and all those things and campaign in Iowa, but this process takes so long, and you know, I've had local members of our congressional delegation basically admit to me that we're not going to get a deal on infrastructure until after the election next year. Well, think about that. That's 2 years of doing nothing in Congress. Now, they do tend to other business, but when it comes to the biggest needs of the country, they're not going to get anything done. On the topic of the president doing this, this is what he loves to do. And, yeah, of course he's been campaigning since he took office. He loves the rallies. He loves speaking off the teleprompter. And he's pretty effective at it. So this is a moment that he's going to certainly relish for the next 17 months.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people will tune out. Let's say you're living in Missouri, for example, and you know, you're not even the first caucus or primary, and the 22 candidates on the Democratic side are going to be winnowed down to, what, three or four by the time they get here. Do you really even have to follow it? You know what the president's positions are. Well, actually, you don't always know because they can change, but there's that. Then you can say, you say to yourself, okay, I'm living in Missouri. Do I really need to follow all the positions of the Democrats, knowing that, you know, 18, 19 of them aren't even going to be on the ballot by the time I get to vote? So why even bother following it? If you tune out, I think that's a really plausible, reasonable choice.
You know, I feel like I follow a lot of this fairly closely. And sure, when I look at the list of Democrats, there are people on that list. I'm like, wait a minute, who is that?
Marianne Williamson.
I've never heard. Well, she was actually, I think, the very first person to announce.
Well, she's
spiritualist.
She's on the takeout this week with Major Garrett. That's just why I bring up
her
name.
But yeah, other people on the list, I'm like, I have never honestly heard of that person before. It is 8:39. We'll take a look at traffic and weather together and then round two.
Get ready for the Cards and Marlins tonight. Ameren Total Access, 6:20. First pitch, 7:15. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
It's 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Mark Reardon of The Mark Reardon Show and Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show. All right, a school district in Nebraska is going to start randomly testing students who take part in extracurricular activities, but not for marijuana or cocaine or anything. Maybe they already do that, but for nicotine. Educators say they've noticed a sharp rise in the use of e-cigarettes. The new policy at Fairbury Public Schools reflected the growing recognition nationwide of the public health threat of e-cigarettes. Would you favor random testing for nicotine at schools, Charlie Brennan?
Nope. I don't think it's a public health threat. It's a threat to the individual. But let's say you've got a kid and he's smoking cigarettes at age 16. His body would suffer. I don't think others would, right? So I'm not sure. I think the schools have other things to worry about. I mean, every week it seems like we have one more thing that schools have to teach the kids, whether it's swimming a mile or sex education, driver's education. And we just keep piling all these things on. And nicotine's been around for so long, I think that's kind of one of those decisions. Either you're on it or you're not.
Mark?
I'd have to find out a little bit more about this. Look, you made a comment, Debbie, about the drugs. How can a school district test for anything like this legally? That doesn't make any sense. If it's a public school district in particular, I've never heard of something like this. So I don't think, no, I wouldn't favor it either. And I think that the concern is real, perhaps, but I don't know how any school district could drug test someone or nicotine test someone.
I don't think that's necessarily too unusual. I think other schools have done it too. If you participate in sports, I think that's the
nicotine?
Kicker. No, for drugs. He said.
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because you don't have to participate in drugs so they can say, well, in sports, so they can say, well, if you want to play sports, you got to get drug tested.
But do they actually drug test them for that, or do they just, you know, have a policy where if there's a violation, then you can face suspension? I'd be curious to look into that because I don't know.
I know it seems like schools don't have money for a lot of things, but drug testing's not cheap. or nicotine testing.
Well, okay, so let's say the kid is taking part with e-cigarettes on his own time, not at school. What's the interest in the school to protect this kid from his bad behavior?
I don't know.
And what happens to a person who's on nicotine? It's because it's not the nicotine that's causing the cancer in the lungs, right?
Hey, just so you know here, because I love Google, and Debbie's point is valid. The Supreme Court ruled in 2002 that broadened the drug test and did allow random drug tests for middle and high school students participating in competitive extracurricular activities. So I don't know if there's something more updated than that, but that's what I found.
Well, I if you have a performance-enhancing drug, androstenedione or whatever, that's one thing. Does nicotine enhance your ability to play sports? Maybe.
I don't think so. Probably no more than caffeine or something, right? Because it's a stimulant. So, anyway, let's talk about bosses. We all love our bosses, right?
Oh, yeah.
With a new and younger generation entering the workforce, they will now be working alongside people from an older generation, some even born from the greatest generation. And older workers are putting off retirement more and more. So that means workers will be answering to a boss much, much younger, possibly, than they are. Are you foreseeing any issues with this, Mark Reardon, of, say, 60, 70-year-olds having to answer to 20, 30-somethings?
I think that, well, look, we're all at a certain age now where this is going to happen regularly. It doesn't really matter. But I think that the issue with younger bosses sometimes becomes an issue of respect. And if you have someone who is competent, there's probably not an issue that you would have. But if you get someone who's inexperienced, look, experience matters. And if you have someone in a management position, it's always curious to me. I think there are people that are handed management level positions who have no ability to be a manager and shouldn't be in those positions. So that's where I think some of the tension arises. We have a general manager in our building that is significantly younger than me. So it's just kind of the things that happen when you get older.
And you love her.
Of course I do.
Best She's fantastic.
Boss in the world. I don't like Steve Moore, our program director, but I like Becky quite a bit.
You know, our program director, I've worked for him, 20 years? I don't know what it is. He's always been younger than me. And then before that, Tom Langmeier.
He's always been younger than me. It's so weird.
Well, what I meant to say was I've always been working for, except since Rod Zerman left in 1998, I guess I've always been working for people who are younger than me.
I think there's a difference between a few years and Steve's younger than me too, or having someone in their 60s working for a 20-something. I think that's what we're kind of talking about here, and that does tend to be a little awkward.
I don't know how many 20-somethings are becoming a boss. Could be.
I think plenty of kids who are, like, it depends where you work, but 28, 27, 28, 29, absolutely.
It's always
kind
of
about every workplace. We're not just talking about some workplaces.
I don't know. We keep hearing, Mark, about the millennials can't make it. They have no money. I don't know. Are they rising to the top? I hope so.
It's always a little disconcerting when we have producers around here who say, I was born in 2000.
Right.
What? Really?
Take a look at those St. Louis Blues when they were born. I just did this morning. It was like yesterday.
I know. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 8:48. We'll be back with round three right after this.
I want to hear more.
This is Overtime on KMOX.
And I ain't trying to mess with your self-expression, but I've learned a lesson that stressing and obsessing about somebody else is no fun. And snakes and stones never broke my bones, so...
All right, guys, you need to calm down. It's the new Taylor Swift song. Now, she really stayed out of politics for a number of years. She got involved, I think, in the last election cycle, where she backed, I think, a Senate candidate who ended up losing. But her new music video for this song, You Need to Calm Down, puts LGBTQ rights center stage. It's a very colorful, kitschy, upscale trailer park kind of celebration of gay culture and marriage. And it concludes with a overtly political message asking fans to sign a petition on change.org urging the Senate to pass the Equality Act, which would provide a national ban on discrimination based on sexual orientation. Mark, do you think this is a risky move for Taylor, or is her career solidified enough that she doesn't have to worry about turning people away?
I think she's fine. I think the majority of her fans are probably not even going to understand the implications maybe of the message. You know, I guess you got the petition out there. I think younger fans are probably going to support her. I don't see there's any risk to her career. But, God, I got to tell you something. I am so glad that Taylor Swift has brought to my attention, celebrations of gay culture and marriage, because I would not have realized it in the month of June. I haven't seen any rainbows or anything like that, so I'm just glad to be reminded. I mean, I went into Nordstrom the other day, and there were rainbows everywhere, and I thought, oh, what's this about? I haven't heard about anything related to rainbows in the month of June. So I'm just glad she's keeping it on my radar, because no one else is.
Well, you know, Mark's good friend Ted Nugent was pretty political all those years. Still is. And so, you know, if Taylor Swift wants to get political, that's fine. And I don't think anyone can complain about that. But I do think it is interesting that she's bringing that up. You know, you can, in the state of Missouri, fire someone because they're gay. If you are gay, that does not protect you in the workplace. You can't fire someone because of race or creed or gender. But, yes, sexual orientation or preference, you can. So that's, I think it's let the discussion begin. Good for her for starting that.
Well, how about this discussion? It could be the first in this country, but lawmakers in New York State have introduced a bill to decriminalize sex work. It was rolled out last week, and it's called Stop Violence in the Sex Trade Act. And it is aimed at amending state statutes to decriminalize sex work between consenting adults. It's backed by Decrim NY, a coalition of more than 30 organizations. Any thoughts, Charlie?
Well, it's going on in Vegas, right?
Yeah. And usually the women get prosecuted and the men don't, which I think is a...
You mean outside of Vegas, you mean?
Right.
Yeah. You're probably right, except there are some other famous examples, like Robert Kraft, I guess.
Yeah.
But overall, the libertarian in me says maybe so.
Mark?
Well, I mean, if you can't get your toes done and have a happy ending at the same time, there's something wrong with this country. I'm very libertarian on these issues. I completely would probably support it. I'd have to know a little bit more about, you know, the specifics of what they're including in here. But yes, I would support it.
All right. And do we have time for one quick
Not
one?
Not really.
Not really.
No.
The
school
is...
marm says no. No fun. It's like fishing with the game warden, Chris Myhill.
All right. Well, Mark Reardon and the Mark Reardon Show begin at 2 this afternoon. Charlie Brennan up after news at the top of the hour.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.